So here's a story in honor of finding love on Valentine's Day. Before there was Tinder or eHarmony, there was the St. James Computer Dating Service. It was started by a woman named Joan Ball. Joan lived in England in the 1960s. Her company was one of the first to use a computer and data to match people looking for a relationship. Susie Lee thinks there's a lot to be learned from the early days of computer facilitating dating. She's the Seattle-based founder and CEO of the online dating app Siren. She explained how Joan Ball got into the business of computer dating.
In 62, when women were not even allowed to go outside at night without a male escort, she was a businesswoman who was starting her own businesses. So she had run something in 1962 called, and it's an awesome name, the Marriage Bureau.
This was not a government agency.
This was not a government agency, but it was probably a mandate to say, you know, how do you pair up people and match people? So she was like a matchmaker and a really good one, apparently.
Okay.
She saw the potential of using the computer to create algorithms in which you put in your data and she would start to match people that way. So you would go in, open door, and then at that point in time, you know, you would input things on the computer and then the computer would do its thing and then say, here are the four or five matches that you should be paired up with.
Wow. So this was 1962. So
yep.
What was the computer like, an entire room full of
it
equipment?
Was.
Okay.
It was. And people, you know, the public didn't understand anything about quote unquote technology. So when she said something about computer dating, people were horrified and said, does that mean you want to turn us into robots? Like robots were going to be doing the dating, which maybe that's actually happening now.
So what kind of questions would she have asked back then? What would people be telling her?
So things like, you know, what was important at the time, right? So whether someone had a job, probably their family history, what they were interested in, their, you know, activities like smoking or, well, everybody was probably smoking back then, whether they had kids. Religion was a really important one as well. The one thing that at the time she really didn't want to play on was race. So she told me a story about a woman that she said was, you know, amazing and brilliant and beautiful and, you know, kind of a perfect fit for this doctor. And the doctor came in and he met the woman and then he came back to Joan and said, I want my money back. I'm horrified. Mm. And the reason was that he was a white doctor and she had set him up with a black woman. Mm-hmm. And he said, you didn't tell me that. And she said, I didn't think it was important for you to know. Because that wasn't the thing that made her her. She was a smart, brilliant, really engaged woman and matched in all these different ways. And so he said, oh, no, you should have told me. You should have told me. And she was furious at him. So Joan said, get out of my office. I don't ever want to see you here again. You're despicable.
Mm. Well, I know that matchmakers often say, okay, here's my success rate at, you know, matching people up and marriages and so forth. So did she have much success doing the matchmaking this way?
She did. And in fact, so her site was called the St. James Computer Dating Service. So I think she was playing off a little bit of like the religion and that part of the aspect. Mm-hmm. And then she merged with another man at the time who was thinking about the computer dating. So they created another company together called Compat. And that company ended up competing with another company in England called Dateline. And she's, you know, Joan said the guy who ran Dateline was just a businessman who was brutish and unpleasant and corrupt and blocked her ability on Compat to be able to advertise. So if no one knew about her site, this was 1964, 1965, then no one would know about it.
So she didn't succeed as a business?
So she wasn't able to succeed because this competing computer algorithm program basically took all the advertising dollars.
But this is interesting that there was competition back mm-hmm. in the 1960s for computer dating.
That's right.
I mean,
right.
This was a thing back then. This has been around for a while.
This has been, you know, I mean, if you think about the personal ads, this idea of kind of calling something out and then having a lot of people be able to see it. So using almost like newspapers as a way to say, hey, distribution network, this is how we're going to find it out. I mean, it was just a way to gather a lot of people who were like-minded and single and needed to get married. And everyone saw that there was a potential for doing this because computers could do it much faster in some ways.
Why are you so interested in this particular piece of history of online dating? What fascinates you about this?
So my background is as an artist and working in technology, and especially technology that I think can amplify humanity. And instead of making people into objects and gamifying everything, I said there are absolutely beautiful and moving ways that technology can bring people closer together. So I was kind of looking for my next project, and I was single at the time. And all of my friends who were, you know, professional women were like, oh my God, you have to try online dating, Susie. This is like this is what people do. And I'd never done it before. So I said, okay, sure. I mean, as artists, we're just very naturally social. So I just met all of my previous relationships by meeting people in real life. But the moment that I tried to create a profile, I thought, this is awful. Like, everything that I feel like I bring to the table is being squashed in an online profile. And I felt super, super objectified.
Because it was too formulaic for you?
It was formulaic, but it was also like, here's a photo and try to basically market yourself as like why you're this amazing person or why you're being like worthy of dating in some way. And I thought, the things that you can't tell on the profile are A, I'm funny. B, any kind of wish of or stereotype of what you think a quote unquote Asian woman should be like, I will smash all of those stereotypes. And so I thought, this is awful. Like, this is not really the way that I want to kind of put my foot out there and say I'm interested in meeting people.
Right.
So I said, I know how to do this better.
Right. And so you started your own site.
Started my own site.
Which is different. So the data idea, the matching people by their, you know, what they do or who they think they are, that doesn't work on your site? That's not how it works?
It doesn't, and it has been proven that that doesn't work in general. So when you look again at kind of the timeline of online dating, it kind of reached a peak where like places like Match.com, eHarmony, and OkCupid would say, give us as much data as possible, basically your entire resume, and we will promise chemistry by kind of the algorithmic special sauce. And then OkCupid said, this is baloney. We can't do this, and we can't promise chemistry this way. So at the same time, everyone started using their mobile phones, and they didn't want to read a whole bunch of text. So Tinder came out and was really the first site that activated how the phone was being used by people, which is swipes and taps, and said, well, basically all you need is a picture, and let's treat it like a big frat party, and guys will basically say, is this person hot or not? And that's how we're going to navigate our online dating. So that's where we are right now. And I thought, we can still do it better, right? We can still do it where it's not about data matching. It's about how do people converse with each other.
So it's more like a social media platform.
It is. So it's much more social in the sense that, so Siren has these daily questions, and we don't, you know, a computer doesn't create the questions. We actually source our community of creative individuals. So architects, dancers, artists, writers, they come up with our questions every week. And they're anything from where does rain sound best? That was a really popular question to us. To how many cats is too many cats? Or we can be quite progressive and say, you know, what is... what does feminism mean to you? And that was actually a really important question. And I remember when I was reading some of the responses of people, I thought, like that's a hard question, I think, to put on a dating site. But when you just put it out there as a question and people start to answer, how people answer matters as much as literally the words that they say. So there was one guy that said, "Bleh, you know, feminism is like, yeah, I don't think it's needed in 2017 or 2016. And I thought, see, I wouldn't want to meet you, you know?
Well, you were saying that your site appeals to a certain kind of person, artists or, you know, creatives.
People who can spell.
Are people going to be sort of gravitating to like smaller social groups when they're online and online dating in the future? As we are probably in life as well, we're navigating to smaller and smaller groups of people who are like-minded in real life.
I think so. I mean, right now they talk about niche dating, meaning, you know, these are the kind of interests you have, but they're kind of weird niches. So there's like one called Farmers Only, so that if you're into rural things, I guess, all things rural, you can do that. You know, there's obviously any kind of racial preference or like something like J-Date, which is for like people who are interested in the Jewish community. But I feel like that's a really limiting way of seeing how people can break themselves up in communities. So I think, you know, the beauty and what Joan Ball had said even in 1963, the potential of online dating and computer dating that was beautiful was that it would actually start to cross over socioeconomic and geographic boundaries. And that's the beautiful part, right? Because, you know, we're talking now about how in 2017, all of us seem really isolated and kind of in our own bubbles.
Yeah.
And at least when I looked at the kind of relationships that I thought were really magical in my life, they were always things that were completely unexpected.
Surprising, yeah.
And surprising. And, you know, I thought, well, how would I have met you on these sites? Well, I wouldn't have. I would have either swiped left or ignored you because, like, somehow there was something wrong about this person, except in real life, there was chemistry.
Right.
So I feel like the way that people can break themselves up in communities has to be on some level of shared values or some kind of sense of humor and not just on the sort of superficial idea of the activity. And of course, there are things that I think are really important to people, but those can be vetted through the conversation, I think.
It seems like as soon as technology allowed it, you know, back in the 1960s with Joan Ball, that people have been trying to find love through technology.
Yes.
What's the attraction? Why do people gravitate to that?
Well, kind of like pornography, like the moment that you could start putting pictures online, people started doing it. I think that technology has always been used to try to connect people. So right now, virtual reality is kind of a big thing. And everyone kind of says, oh, my God, now people are going to try to have sex in VR. And they sort of say it really dismissively with their eyes rolled. But it's true. That's actually what people are trying to do. So the hunger for what is fundamentally something that everybody needs and wants, we're absolutely going to use every tool that we can to do that thing. And that's why we end up doing that. It's just that historically, I don't know why, it's always been kind of creepy and shady people who have done that. So someone like Joan Ball is actually a really interesting outlier because she was really looking at it from a level of saying, as an expert matchmaker, how can I use this technology in a really positive way for people? And I think that I'd rather take that baton rather than some of the other like weird, historically creepy sites.
Susie Lee is the Seattle-based founder and CEO of the online dating app Siren. We talked about Joan Ball, the woman who invented computerized dating back in the 1960s.